Morning all, welcome to the team car. Welcome one, welcome all. It's the Fendrian podcast
number 33.
I don't know at what point we accept that we're going to keep doing this and stop numbering them and just call them the date or this week's show. Not yet though. I quite like the numbering. Maybe we should have gone Roman numerals or something. But anyway, it's this week's show is obviously a review, a look back at some of the highlights of the World Championships. When we last spoke, the team time trial had concluded, and Etix Quickstep had won. BMC not the world team time trial champions for once. But we'd already kind of looked at some of the course, the parkour, and we'd already made the observation. It doesn't look great, does it? It doesn't look very interesting. But as we know, and we have continually learnt, it's not the course that makes the race. It's the riders, of course. And fantastically, when it came to the road race, the riders did go ahead and make it. Certainly, the men's road race. There was, of course, the matter of the individual time trial, and having been up and down and not really had a great season, tried to convert to a classics rider, didn't quite work out. Tony Martin, I remember him falling off in one of the Belgian semi-classics before he'd even got to a set of cobbles, and you thought, okay, maybe this translation into a classic specialist isn't going to happen. But Tony Martin won, and he won with consummate ease, really. Leaving the likes of Rowan Dennis and Kirienka in his wake. Not a great event for the Brits, really, when you consider we're a nation of time trialists and our heritage and history is in that particular discipline of the sport. Steve Cummings and Alex Dowsett really trouble the medals positions. Whether that's something that British cycling will return some level of focus on, I'm sure at some point in the coming years, what will happen is we'll start not winning the Tour de France or not winning big races, and there'll be a massive back to basics program where we look to try and win time trials and get ourselves back in that discipline. And you know, for someone like me who grew up watching, well, firstly Sean Yates winning like stages of the Tour de France, like his 1988 stage win on the flatlands of northern France, the time trial to Wascal. Then enjoying the Chris Boardman, you know, the Lille prologue of 94, the fastest prologue at that time, of all time. And then David Miller, who was a tester, and of course a tester who rode a lot of time trials and as a junior would potentially have ridden quite a few time trials, you know, around, not necessarily right around the fence, but, you know, NNDCA sort of areas and Milton Keynes, the toaster, Northampton 10 course is a pretty quick one. So, you know, you would think that maybe the heritage would have been protected, but it seems to be an area that, you know, British cycling, having been the innovators and the dominant force, are not quite as interested in, or we just haven't naturally got the players anymore. I'm surprised, because in Dowsett, I think we'd got someone who was proper quick, but I suppose it depends on what load their team have put on them for other events through the year and what their priorities were. But the time trial itself was not the best thing that I watched on TV last Wednesday night. It was second to the Bake Off, so that tells you potentially what sort of an event that was. But we had the weekend event, and the weekend actually I didn't watch that much or get that much into the women's event due to a whole host of things at the weekend, including my own training, to be fair. But the road race on Sunday, kind of a strange time for Dave Brailsford to release his interview with the cycling podcast, so if you haven't downloaded and listened to that, I certainly would. Hidden in plain sight, maybe. But the race itself, I think everyone kind of knew what happened was going to happen, and that fantastic little stretch that it was still over 100 miles to go, where Cavendish, Adam Blythe, Tom Boonen, Jürgen Rolantz, our hero, friend of the podcast, Jürgen Rolantz, absolutely drilled it across that crosswind section, and they just they just buried a whole host of riders out of the back. You know, the likes of Caleb Ewan couldn't hold wheels, and even though that stretch wasn't particularly long and they were fairly quickly into a sort of tailwind section, you know, they ripped minutes out of the, you know, out of the breakaway that was 7 minutes up the road at one point. They were within 5 minutes, what felt like a heartbeat. And then you had the situation where the riders that were going out the back, they were never more than, you know, a couple of minutes or a minute out the back for quite a long time. But it was clear that this was where the selection was going to be made, and, you know, throw some crosswinds, even with the heat, you throw some crosswinds in and five Belgians, and that's always going to be a massive event, a massive occasion. And they did. It got onto the circuit, it kind of lulled a little bit. They started pulling groups out who were too far in arrears. And we saw like the Geraint Thomases and people like that taken out of the event. You wondered and you feared for Cav. As it happened, it kind of almost played perfectly into our hands. We'd isolated a load of, you know, Bahani was gone, Arnaud Demar was gone, Kittel was gone, John Degenkolb was gone, Greipel was gone. Pretty much the entire Spanish team was gone. So in terms of a sneaky attack, the Belgians and the Brits actually did really, really well. And to be fair, the Aussies had Michael Matthews in there for a bit as well. So it worked out quite nicely. The Italians were really well represented, and they had two sprinters in there, including our good friend Elia Viviani. And you just thought, yeah, this is shaping up nicely. Didn't really happen on the finishing circuit. There wasn't that much exposed kind of area to get something going. The one person that really did try and get an attack to ignite it was Nicky Terpstra, and he went away with Greg Van Avermaet, and you thought, oh, this might be the right composition here, they might let this go, but they didn't, and they were heftily, you know, brought back. And then the one attack that did look in the last sort of few hundred metres even excuse me, that looked good was Tom Leader, but he couldn't quite make it stick. And as the sprint was unleashed, Sagan kind of came from nowhere to take on from Cavendish. Van Avermaet was spent after his attack, and it was left to Tom Boonen to roll back the years 11 years after his Madrid win and podium. So very, very interesting sprint. Not kind of like the cleanest, but it was okay. You know, there was nothing in there that made you feel it was untoward. And you know, well done Cav on a medal, silver medal. But of course, well done to Sagan, who is a back-to-back world road race champion, and you know, he's certainly slayed the myth that the rainbow jersey is a curse. He's won the Tour of Flanders, he's won multiple Tour de France stages, and he's come back on strong, winning bunch sprints in the Eneco Tour. And I think maybe, you know, then when he started winning sprints and stuff like that, you think, oh, okay, he's taking the world pretty seriously, and you know, well done to the guy, richly deserved. And good for Bora to a team that's kind of almost morphed and merged, but has roots and has history in the old British domestic enduro racing team, and they're going to have the world champion on their squad next year. So fair dues to them. So yeah, that was the World Road Race, not the Bake Off, in a nutshell. It's been a busy old week, and the TUI gate continues to crack on, and Chris Froome continues to kind of question the Wiggins mentality. I think that's a sporting rivalry that will go on for many years to come. We're a little bit tired of it. We might cover it next week. There's not any racing really, so we're going to have to start thinking of ways to engage and keep you interested in the next few months, transfer roundups, things like that. So yeah, that's all for this week. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our coverage of the world. Get in touch with us. Search Fendrian on Facebook, at Fendrian EU on Twitter. The website is http://fendrian.eu. And let us know what you think, what you want to hear in the next few weeks. In the meantime, keep out there, keep safe, and enjoy the last few, hopefully, reasonable get-ups and reasonable bits of weather of the season. Take care and speak soon. Bye-bye.